You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order, please? I see. The special it is. We will be there to deliver ASAP. Pizza Podcast Special Delivery. Hello and welcome to your special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. I'm Paul from the UK, and with me today is
Casey from the UK.
Oh, she got in. Dan in the UK. Oh, I thought Sean was going to go.
No, I'm last. I'm Sean in Canada. It's alphabetical.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a consensus on really. The order.
That's why we gave you the mug. It's because it's got the names of us on it. But it's like, it. Oh my God, it might not be in.
I think this is a new thing we should introduce.
And everybody else goes alphabetical.
Oh, I think we should introduce this. I think this is a good idea. Whoever can shout in first.
That might work.
The editing mess it will be for Paul, though, unfortunately.
Oh, it's easy because you're on separate tracks. I could just split you up. That's fine. And I probably, I'm going to leave that lot in. Stuff it. Anyway, so we are here to serve you a delicious slice of life. And this week we were running out of ideas, so I sort of suggested that we might want to do something along the lines of an opposite to Room 101, which we did way back when. Room 101 was episode 76. If you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to it, where we throw into Room 101 everything we don't like. Except for mashed potato, because the guys wouldn't let me put that in. So I'm not bitter. Not bitter at all. I'm still eating mashed potato and I can't stand it. So, well, I'm not. I'm lying. I don't eat mashed potato. It's horrible stuff. So anyway, so Room 102. Room 102 is the opposite to Room 101. So in Room 102, we would like to put in the things that we love, that we like, or... as Sean said, maybe we want to bring something back, resurrect it. So we're calling this episode Resurrect or Protect. What would you like to put into Room 102 to protect it? Nobody can ever get rid of it ever again. Or is there something that has gone missing that you would like to bring back? Something from the past? Your favourite sweets? I don't know. Anything. Your favourite breakfast cereal, or you know, somebody you knew or whatever. So the obvious answers to the question, what would you like to keep, will always be husband, wife, kids, parents, and all that type of thing. That's obvious. And I'm sure we'd all like to bring back relatives that have passed. So we're not going to go that obvious. We're just going to go around the table and see what people have thought up. And have we had any suggestions on the old interwebs?
We have, yeah. As we were discussing before we started recording, I had to outsource as well because I was running out of ideas, so I wanted other people to come up for it first. We've got our regular listeners. We've got Tracy Bell, who I used to work with at the Dockyard, Chatham Dockyard. She came up with two ones, and that really got my sort of cogs turning when she said it. Woolworths, bring back Woolworths. You know, the pick and mix, everything like that, you know, all the double cassette tapes you could buy and everything else at Woolworths as well.
And the old TDK video tapes.
Exactly. You know, and all of that. So bring back the high street, I guess, is like an extension of that.
There is a rumor, though, that Woolworths is coming back. Somebody is thinking of you know, buying out some high street shops and bringing Woolworths back as a brand. So yes, ooh. I heard it on the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But I think someone's bringing back Toys R Us, or they've bought the Toys R Us name and they're still sort of using it somewhere.
It never went out of business here in Canada.
I think it's supposed to be online, isn't it? It's an online thing now.
I didn't know that, Sean. Do you still have the Toys R Us? Toys R Us? Toys R Us? theme tune in Canada, or is it?
I don't
different?
Know about that, but we have a Toys R Us in Sudbury, which is 3 hours from here.
Nice.
It's a magical
place where all them Sorry. It was just down the road for us. Like Toys R Us was in Chatham, so it's like that was the big shot. The other one was Tracy missed a bit of Brookie. It was a it was a Channel 4 soap opera from Brookie, from Brookside. So she absolutely loved it. So she wanted to bring that back as well. So that also got the old cogs turning about TV shows to bring back or something like that. Dave, who was one of our guests when they did the coupe run, when they did the race down France, Dave and Phil got in touch as well. Dave was bringing back cereal toys. So when you had packs of cereal, good one. You know, and you collected all the tokens so you could get all the Thunderbirds and all that sort of stuff. So bringing an actual collectibles back, whether it's a spoon that changes color when you put it in the milk, all that kind of stuff. And on a similar vein, something to do with food, Phil said, bring back Starburst Juicers. Gone too soon.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They were these juicy little sweets that would kind of pop in your mouth as you ate them. And they were like a gummy sweet, but with like a juice inside. They were nice.
I'd forgotten about those. Like, do you remember those 3D Doritos as well? That's what that reminds me of. They must have been around about the same time because I instantly just started thinking about 3D Doritos. And bags of crisps where they also used to put, not collectibles, but prizes. So you'd open a bag of Walkers or Lays or whatever they call them around the world. And there'd be like a little gold or silver packet in there. And then you'd open it up and usually it would be another free bag of crisps. So you'd go back to the shop and you'd be like...
See, who needed the lottery back then? That was winning. That was the way to win.
Oh, it certainly was.
One of my things that I wanted to bring back was going to be a breakfast cereal that I remember from when I was a child. And we're going back to sort of mid-1970s, and it was Golden Nuggets. But the thing is, I just looked online, and you can still get them.
You can get all of those types of cereals, Golden Nuggets, Cinnamon Grahams, the Nesquik that looks like rabbit poo. And I didn't realize till I was an adult that it's actually a rabbit on the box as well. So is that what it was supposed to look like the whole time?
Ethically sourced. Natural product. a bit disappointed there. I'll have to go out and buy some Golden Nuggets.
The best shops for those sorts of things that are B&M. B&M has all of that kind of stuff you wouldn't expect to find anymore still in there.
Morrison's as well, apparently. Yeah. There you go. Wow. Oh, man. I just want a bowl of Golden Nuggets. who wants to go first with what they would like to either keep or... If I go too early, I'll have run out my list in one go. So.
Fine, I'll go. And we're going to protect historical truth.
Ooh.
Why are we going deep?
We didn't say we're going to go deep.
How's that for deep? Yes, I was trying to think of what we're going to keep, and I'm like, I don't friggin' know. But I'm like, you know what? Let's do historical truth, because they're always erasing history and stuff. So we got to keep that. And according to historian Robert Winks, he once wrote, "The past was real, but truth is relative." And historical truth is pliable. So we begin every research project with a vision of that pot of truth waiting us at the rainbow's end. When we reach that end, we've only a mound of dough that will be manipulated, stretched, shaped, and flavored by own experiences, judgments, and standards. And be that as the case, as a historical writer, I think we need to know what actually really happened. So that's what I would like to know. What's real?
That's really thought-provoking, Sean, and makes me think of the quote. Can't remember who coined the quote, and I hope it's not someone controversial, because that does happen a lot. People are like, oh, this quirky quote. And I'm like, I'm actually sure that that's like a Hitler quote. Not 100% sure. But the quote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Yes.
And it's often the response when people say, oh, why would you keep concentration camps open for people to visit them? And it's like, well, they're memorials, but also if they didn't exist, then there'd be no reminder of the atrocities that humankind have committed. And I'm researching a case at the moment for my podcast about cults. This place called Colonia Dignidad, which in English is the Dignity Colony. And it was a German colony in Chile under the regime of Augustus Pinochet. And Augusto Pinochet, as a dictator, worked alongside the leader of this German colony in Chile, who had escaped communism in Germany post-World War II. It was just an isolated colony where kids were tortured, physically, sexually abused. They found mass graves, and the survivors of the colony eventually were given like 10,000 euros each in reparations and had to fight for decades to get a memorial put up. And some people don't know where their family members are. They haven't heard from them, haven't seen them in years. Like the other leaders of the colony that fled have been given little pockets of safety back in Germany. And it's just like, if those people weren't still fighting to find out what happened or to make the truth public, nobody would know. So I completely agree with you, Sean, that it's so important to protect history and have it presented accurately too.
Exactly. And I've been listening to a lot of different historical podcasts, and it turns out we don't know a lot of what actually happened. They can only speculate. So what really happened? We don't know. We can only guess. So it would be good to know the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So historical truth. I'm keeping that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we should.
I'm going to piggyback on that. I was trying to think of a serious one because all mine are very silly. So the only serious one I had was net neutrality. So when I was sort of looking up protection and trying to, you know, get some ideas on good things that we should really be, you know, raising the flag for. Net neutrality, the idea that everyone should have free and open access to all knowledge. It shouldn't be parceled out based on beliefs or society or culture or private investor. So, you know, you don't have to go to a certain person to then get a certain cluster of information. So you're not sort of, you know, pigeonholing people into a certain way of thinking. So that was, you know, going on the idea of what is truth, historical truth, what is truth right now, making sure that everyone's got free and open access to it. So, you know, let's get all the serious ones out of the way first. That I'm going to stick with that. Yeah.
That's what I figured. I would get all the heavy stuff out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about important things, I'm just going to say women's rights and the rights of the LGBTQIA+ community, all of which are being heavily threatened in parts of the world at the moment. We've come a long way, but it feels in some cases that we are quickly taking fast steps backwards, and it's quite scary. And as a woman who is studying the psychology of coercive control at the moment, I recognize patriarchal systems of subjugation that exist to keep women and other marginalized community groups underneath the privilege of men. I am lucky to be in a very safe relationship where that doesn't happen, and it is a partnership. But sadly, I know far too many people where that is not the case. And that's without considering women that live in countries where they're not allowed to work, the girls aren't allowed to go to school. So, free education for everybody. And just equal rights for everybody. I would love to just put that in room 102 and to protect the policies and laws that we have for marginalized community groups, but also build on them and improve on them as well, just to get the other heavy stuff out of the way. Very representing good. The women in the listenership.
That's right. I mean, we've done, you know, everything we can to increase our hosts to 25% a female. Oh, we could do so much better, but nobody wants to join us. So, and none of us know how to speak to women, and it's all really sort of shy, and I don't really know what to say, and you know, so yeah, it's good that we've got Casey on, and we've been waiting so long to have her on board so that we could get some sort of female perspective, because one middle aged and two galloping over the rails. Bald white men, you know, it's not exactly representative of what we should be.
We didn't even vary it up. We didn't have different hairstyles or anything. We just stayed everything the same. That's crazy.
Bald white men with glasses.
Yeah. Well, I've got a goatee.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, Dan needs to shave. That's as close as we got. Mm. Yeah.
You had to do something so that I'd know who I was speaking to.
Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah, I mean, we do look like the children of the corn. Obviously, our listeners don't know that. They can't see us right now, but join us, Casey. Everything is fine,
you
Casey.
You are all wearing glasses as well.
Yes. Yeah, otherwise, we just can't see.
Oh. That's the problem. I want to bring back my eyesight.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, why didn't I think of that one? That's a yes. Great one.
I was going to say my health, but I don't think there was ever a time when I was ever healthy. There was always something wrong.
That was the silly one I put in for my protectors. Protect my waistline. I really don't like where this is going. That's all I wrote on the notes. It's like, I really don't like this spreading. This is not nice. I like it to stay where it was, not moving outwards. That's not right. And not outwards, like forwards, outwards sideways. That doesn't make any sense.
No, yeah, it does. It gets from the sides. Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm trying to lose it at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it does if you're a woman. I feel like it does if you're a woman. Makes sense. Make a lot of sense.
No, I've been told, finally been told by the doctors they tell me every time they see me, you need to lose weight. Yes, I know that. I'm not that much overweight in the sense of I'm only a small person and I've got skinny arms and skinny legs, but it's all around my waist. So I just need to get rid of that because the blood pressure's too high and the cholesterol's not good. And also, so finally, over the last 2 weeks, I've lost 3 pounds, which is whatever that is in kilos.
One and a half ish.
Yep. So we're going in the right direction, but I just need to keep it going. But we shall see next month. Let's have a health check on Paul for next month.
Reconvene. Oh no! Now you've got accountability because we're all going to be like, "How are you doing, Paul? How are you doing?"
Yeah. And all seven of our listeners want to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is not a chocolate bar I'm eating. God, actually.
Sorry, this is now called the Broccoli and Carrots podcast.
I found the spare lion bar hiding behind the TV screen.
I've never heard of that.
It's a chocolate bar. Obviously, this is a snack size, for goodness sake. Snack size. So it's like a biscuit with caramel in between it and all around it. And then some nuts on the outside and then covered in chocolate.
Mm.
So it's quite a bite, then it's quite chewy.
Well, when I come visit you next September, we'll have to pick up a few.
I hope it's not next September. Oh, next September. Yeah, September.
Yeah, not this coming September, next September.
Oh, I thought it was going to be June. Or is it September?
I don't know. June or September. You guys said either one is good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
You'll go, you do realize you'll have to declare extra weight going home, not in the baggage, but on yourself, because you'll be having fish and chips, you'll be having chocolate bars, all of this fatty food that us British are famous for.
Well, I also have to try tea and crumpets because that's famous.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Crumpets are so good.
Really?
I've just got my American friend over in Nashville on crumpets, and now he keeps going out to this special market and buying them for all his neighbors, and now all his neighbors are on crumpets. But he messaged me the other day and said, "What do you think about crumpets with bacon and cheese?" And I was like, "What are you doing? Crumpets are for butter. Ooh. Crumpets are for butter." Like, I was
I don't know. Ooh, I like a melted cheese crumpet. Oh, that's nice.
No, come on, have a bagel or something, Dan, if that's what you're going for.
No, crumpets and butter.
Maybe lovely. if you've got a little sweet urge, maybe a little bit of honey or a little bit of like marmalade or something like that. But you don't put cheese and bacon on a crumpet.
You put cheese and bacon on everything.
Yeah. I can understand that, but I'm not a big fan of crumpets anyway. I've had them when I was younger. Put butter on it. Yeah, nice. Jam as well. We put jam on the top, but it's a sweet thing. It's not.
Well, all I know is that I'm going to try all the different things.
Fabulous.
You know what else I'd like to try? I'd like to try listening to this podcast that we're going to play a promo for here on the ESO Network.
It's a new era for Doctor Who.
Life depends on change and renewal.
And the crew from Earth Station Who podcast will continue to guide you through the past, present, and future of the franchise.
Though not necessarily in that order.
Join us for some wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey talk of stories new and old.
Listen to Earth Station Who wherever you access your podcasts. We're a proud member of the ESO Network.
We're all stories in the end.
I will jump on the back of your Lion Bar comment to just say that on my list for Room 102 is all types of nutty chocolate, peanut chocolate, hazelnut chocolate, or just like Nutella chocolate spread. I absolutely love all types of chocolate with all types of nuts in. And I just want them to go in Room 102 so I can just have all varieties of chocolates with nuts in forever.
I'm with you there, for sure. Absolutely. For sure.
Oh, so good.
Peanut M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms, dairy milk, whole nut. Oh gosh, so good.
You know what I just tried that they just ones? Came out with? Fudge M&Ms.
Oh.
Yeah, they're in a purple package. They're very chewy. Ooh, I think they're limited edition or brand new or something.
Oh gosh, we probably won't get them over here for years. I feel like our chocolates never really change.
Yeah, there's nothing new really come out any.
No.
It is very much what people like from when they're kids, and it tends to stay on the shelf.
Yeah.
So I bought a bag of M&Ms, a peanut M&Ms a while back, and I demolished it within 2 days. My wife went mad because it was the 1 kilogram party bag.
Oh no.
They're so Moorish, though. Purple ones in the Quality Streets are so good, but you never get enough of them.
Yeah. Oh,
and the
yes.
green triangles as well. Yeah. The green triangles are so good.
Those are the
good.
Two best ones.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good.
They used to do packets
good.
Of just purple ones, didn't they? And then just triangular ones. And they did that for a while.
The purple and the green, just like the Drazi.
Really good. You work in an office or you go to someone's house and it just happens to be people that don't like that type of chocolate, and you're like, oh, I guess I'll have those ones if you don't like those ones. But my dad used to play a lot of darts when I was growing up, and he'd travel to different tournaments on a Friday night. So it'd be me and my mum at home, and she'd get me a can of Dr. Pepper and a Star Bar, and I'd leave both of them in the back of the fridge to get them really cold. And then we'd sit down and watch the soaps together. And I'd have my Dr. Pepper and a Star Bar. And sometimes now, if I'm having a bit of a bad day, that's what I'll go get from the shop is a Dr. Pepper and a Star Bar. Star Bars are so good. They're like...
I don't know what that is.
It's like a chocolate log with a layer of caramel. And then on the bottom, it's like thick chocolate with all nuts wedged in. It's so tasty. It's really good. I'd say a Star Bar over a Lion Bar any day of the week, Sean. Well, so when you come over, that's what you have to have.
I mean,
I'm going to take both. Give them a try.
I mean, the Lion Bar is good, but a poor man's Lion Bar is a picnic, which is the same.
Picnics are so good.
Fruits
yeah.
and nuts just melt with chocolate all over them. So you'd have like raisins and hazelnuts and whatever, all in a bar, just covered in chocolate. Yeah,
I feel like there's an episode where you're just going to try everything and we'll record you eating each one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Maybe I'll do that for the Soul Forge podcast.
Yes.
You never know.
Yeah,
it'll be a joint Cosmic Pizza Soul Forge endeavor.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll have to video it and put it out on YouTube.
Oh, yes. Perfect. All right. And speaking of things that we're going to keep, here's a semi-serious, not so serious one. I'm going to keep or protect historical monuments and classic cars.
Oh yes.
You know how ISIS blew up all those old historical monuments? I would bring those back and keep everything protected, like the Sphinx and the pyramids and Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, or however you say that one. and all that stuff. Keep all that. And then all the old cars, like from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, all those cool ones, because they always blow them up in movies, and I hate that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
One thing I'd like to keep, and it is actually something I've still got a thought of doing, although there would be some that I would miss out through bad memory, is I would like to resurrect and put on a shelf every book I have read.
Yes. There you go.
So every
That's such a good idea.
Series of books. I at one point I had a lot of books, and it was like all the Tom Clancy books I had, you know, a big run of them. And he's written more since. And then eventually, you know, moving into a new house, I took them all down to a charity shop and just gave them to the charity shop. And since then, I've thought, oh, I want to go back and read that book. But I mean, I could get it on Kindle. You can probably buy it on Amazon or whatever. We haven't got enough bookshelves at the moment. And hopefully with a little bit of a rearrange in the house that's coming up soon, I might be able to get some bookshelves and try and fill it with every book that I've read. I couldn't go back and say every book I've read, because there's some that I probably have read and forgotten about, or they're just not in print anymore. But I've managed to get all of the Isaac Asimov books, or most of his books, in one form or another. All the ones that I have read, anyway. So I've got about 20 or 22 of them, I think, at the moment. So I just need a few more, you know, just to sort of complete a set of books that I've read. But yeah, I've got nowhere to put them at the moment, so it's a bit annoying. So once I get a couple of shelves sorted out, I could have a backdrop like Casey's and have lots of books in it.
Well, this is my video game collection. So I would say the same for like all the video games I've played, but I'm pretty sure most of them are here. So you've got Nintendo 64, Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One, PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4. There's lots of different games, but there's still some on my list of games I've played that I could just not afford to buy. I think one of the games on... Paul, you'd hate this game. There's one, like, survival horror game called Project Zero, where you go around this, like, Japanese haunted house, and these apparitions and ghosts come towards you, and the only way you can protect yourself is to take a picture of them at the right time, and it, like, scares them away. It's so creepy. And I think I went to a like a retro console fair and found a copy, and it was like £65. And that was the only time I could buy it. It's equally expensive to buy it online as well, because they just didn't make many copies of it. So there's a few games that I've played that I really enjoyed that I don't have, that I would like to have in my collection. But having a young family, we don't really get to play. I mean, the consoles are all there, but all the wires are not. They are in the cupboard in different boxes for each console, hidden away. I'm surprised that the consoles don't have, like, you know, bits of toast jammed into the disk drives and things like that. But we might still get to that point. So I'm hoping we're past it, but I'm not sure. On my list, though, I was going to put things like video games and things from my childhood that I miss. But I live in the retro era. So all of the things that I played growing up, like Silent Hill and Resident Evil and Crash Bandicoot and Rayman, having a Tamagotchi, like all of these things are actually all remade, remastered, re-released. Everything I ever played growing up is just really popular again at the moment. And I think it's popular mostly around the people that played them when they were first released and not so much with newer fans of different things. But yeah, even like watching the kids' TV, and there's a new version of Blue's Clues with all updated animations, and they're doing a new season of Tracy Beaker, which was a show that I watched when I was younger, with the same actress playing Tracy Beaker as an adult. Like, it's just, I just live in that age now where everything is I'm in the retro era, so I'm really lucky to have that access to things. You know, new Silent Hill games just being released, and they've remastered pretty much all the Resident Evils because I loved playing survival horror when I was growing up. And yeah, I've got all the Spyro remasters and all the Crash Bandicoot remasters. So yeah, it's a good time for me with Room 102.
Well, I think on that theme, I think one thing I'd like to, that's probably a few knocking around, but to resurrect the, it's not a console, it's a computer. It's the BBC microcomputer, which came out in the mid-80s. My dad bought one because he thought it was going to help us with our homework. Yeah, cause it's a computer. Yeah, it was just an excuse for him to buy it, I think. But he never touched it. It went straight into my room, and I played... there was three main games I played. And because the graphics were not particularly brilliant, and because it was only a 32K version of the computer, the games were either wireframe graphics. So we had like a flight simulator, which you could fly at Spitfire, and you had dials and things to show how you're flying, and you could just about get to grips with it, flying it, and then suddenly some aliens would appear, and you had to shoot the aliens that were in the sky, and then you had to land the plane. I never ever landed it. If you crashed or got shot, you're back to the start. You start again. There was Elite. Elite came out. This was before we got to Elite Dangerous. Now, it's the same guy who did it. Elite was a wireframe space trading game, which spawned everything that computer-wise that has a space game now, all came from this one game. It was wireframe graphics. It was you were trading things, so it was all very much text-based. When you got onto the space station, you had to try and fly into a dodecahedron space station. It was spinning. You had to spin with it, and if you hit the side of it, you crashed, destroyed. You start the game again with nothing except the ship. That's the way it was in those days. None of this return to your save game business. Once you've built up a few things, then you could save it, and then you could get a docking computer and that do it for you, and it made it easier. And then the other game was a game called Revs, which was a racing game. It was a Formula 3 game. You had a black track, red and white curbs, green grass, blue sky, and cars that matched those colours, because that's all the colours you could have. And it was another one that if you went round a corner and clipped the curb, it would jump you 30 foot in the air, throw you off the track, crash, you're into the catch fencing, this fence would come up in front of you, and then you'd be dropped from about 20 foot back onto the track again, and away you go. And in the meantime, all the other cars have gone. There was about four tracks, which then came with an extension of another track later on. And since that time, I have only ever played racing games. It's really... what got me into racing games. I would spend hours on a Saturday just driving round and round and round, trying to go faster, trying to practice different lines, trying to set up the car slightly differently. All you could do is put more front wing on or back wing on, and that was it. That's all you could do. So it was just brilliant. So I'd love to bring that back again and play those games again, because they were because it was all about the imagination. It wasn't about the graphics. They were crap. It was all about what was in your head. And those are, now you say about horror games, you will see the alien. He will attack you with teeth and blood and guts and gore and people's heads getting ripped off. All of that was in your imagination in the games that we played. And that's far more fun.
Yeah, I think... The survival horror is more the psychological stuff that is creepy, because you're trying to solve puzzles at the same time as like not get caught. And I mean, it's like the lack of jump scare is actually scarier than a jump scare, and the music changes and you're like, oh, and then the angles go all funny and you're like, oh, there's something around the corner, and you can hear a noise, but you can't see anything. Like, yeah, so you are, it is like, and that's in your imagination. What could it be? Where's it coming from? I was just really creepy. What used to make me so mad about those games is with the strategy of the saving in things like Resident Evil, you needed to be in a room with a certain box and a typewriter, and you would go into that room to save your game. And the music was all calm and nice in the save room, and you'd be like, yes, a box and a typewriter. but you needed an ink ribbon to put in the typewriter, and you could only carry like 6 items in your inventory. And then, so you'd be like, oh, okay, I'll keep these things. And if you needed to make space in your inventory, you'd put things in the box in the save room. But then you'd make your way all around the map, and all of a sudden this door can't open from this side, or this door handle's broken, or you need a key for this room. And you go all the way around this massive map, and then you get to this really important part where you're like, oh, that's the key I've needed to open all these doors, but you've got no space in your inventory. So you have to go all the way back around to the room with the box in. You're like, what can I put in here? I need my health. I need my ammo. I need my gun. You're just like, I don't know what. So that's the sort of stuff that really gets me with those types of games. You're like, I have to be really clever about how I do this. I know I went past something where I'm going to need a key, so I'll keep a space. That ink ribbon can stay in that box until I come back in this room. And when I need to save the game, I'll take the ink ribbon out the box, save the game, and put it back in. And that's the sort of stuff that really gets me. It's like puzzle rooms and scary at the same time.
I mean, that's the thing, is that it's whatever you grow up with as a child, or, you know, and like I say, either nowadays, the computer games, the food, the TV shows or whatever, they last with you forever and a day. And even when you're getting on to sort of, you know, my age, you're still watching stop-go animation TV kids DVDs that you bought because you so loved the shows. You know, you want to play the old games again. I've got two Commodore Amigas up in my loft, which are worth a fortune at the moment. I must get them out and sell them, with about, you know, 100 games all in a big box, you know, just discs that have been copied from other discs. And but I've got no TV to play it on. So I'd have to buy an adapter and to get it to work on the TVs. And they say that because the computer consoles are so old now, you have to go in and resolder some of the capacitors. Otherwise, you switch on and it pops. So, you know, it's not a good thing to play. There was a brilliant, brilliant game. It was a top-down game. It was called Valhalla, and you had this little guy, and you had to move him around, which was basically like left, right, up or down, around this castle that he was in, picking up a key. Oh, I got a key. Okay. And he'd look up at you, go, oh, it's a key. And then he'd carry on walking. And then he'd go, I wonder what this unlocks, you know, and all this type of thing. And very, very little amounts of speech, because it was obviously, you know, back in the day, you didn't have the space to put speech on it. And it was a puzzle game, and you had to, you know, do various puzzles to unlock levels and move on. It was a brilliant, brilliant game, and you can actually play it online, but you have to pay money for it to unlock the next level and all this, which is a bit of a pain. But it used to play it on the Commodore Amiga. It was a fantastic game, and it was the only game I got working on the old Amiga when I bought. Well, actually, they were both my Amigas, and I gave them to my friend, and he was getting rid of them out of his house. He said, yeah, you can have these back. I went, oh my God, I didn't realize I had these things. So yeah, it's amazing how things like that stay with you through your life.
Yeah.
And new stuff doesn't interest you. You know, it's too good in some respects.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was too young to play Resident Evil, but I watched my dad, and I'd sit there and I'd be like, oh, you just walked past something really important. And then he'd go back and, you know, so that's how I remember those video games. And they just happen to be re-releasing them now when I'm playing them in a few years' time. You know, it might be something my kids sit next to me and they're like, oh, you missed something.
I've got the only console I got left now is a PS4. And I was playing Uncharted on that, which is a really good game because that's, you know, like I say, it's puzzle-based and you got to, you know, and a bit of a shoot 'em up and then, you know, storyline to it, and I've only got halfway through the first one, and I stopped playing it. I've got to get back into it. I've just started playing Starfield, which is pretty good, but I'm only a couple of hours into it at the moment, and I've stopped that as well. So I need to get back into these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably say that, you know, if we could make it, protect it so that all these consoles, all these old pieces of technology, can always be universal, so they can always be used at all times on whatever the future of TVs will be, that's what we should protect, so that we are guaranteed we can always play whatever we want at any time. Because there's loads of games that commercially weren't really very successful that I loved playing on Game Boy, PlayStation 2, But they were never, you know, the big releases, the ones that everyone always remembers. But I would give my right eye to play them again because they were so good. There was a Mickey Mouse puzzle game on the Game Boy where you could only go certain places if Mickey Mouse was wearing the right outfit, and you had to figure out how to go back on yourself and go round and solve the puzzles. It didn't do very well and was never ported over to the newer console systems. But it was always one of the ones I always want to go back and play. So yes, we should protect all game systems.
Just going back to sweets and candies and things that we used to like when we were kids. One of my favourite was Toffos.
Toffos.
Did you ever have them, Sean, over there?
Toffo? Never heard of it.
T-O-F-F-O. No. They were like a small, very small barrel-shaped or flat barrel-shaped toffee. And they were hard. And they were wrapped individually in like a white wax paper to keep them, you know, sort of nice and fresh. And then they were wrapped in foil and then made into a cylinder of these toffees. And basically, you put one in your mouth and it'd be quite a hard thing. So for a while, you'd be, I've got a frickin' toffee in my mouth. And then slowly but surely, the warmth of your mouth would soften the toffee to a point where you could start to chew it. In the middle sort of section of that, where it was still slightly hard and not quite so, you know, soft, but you could actually bite into it, it would yank out any filling you had in your teeth. It was a brilliant thing. And so you could just, so I used to just suck them. You know, most people put them in, chew them, and they're gone. And I would just keep them in the roof of my mouth, just sort of sucking away on them. And I must have bought thousands of them over a certain period of time in my life when I was early 20s. And I just love them to bits, and I've just realised they've stopped making them, but they disappeared in 2008 apparently. But I've read here that a single packet was found in a sweet shop in Dundee, and the internet went wild with Toffo fans trying to bargain for the last intact roll of Toffos.
Wow. No,
that's funny. Sorry, Sean, you go. All good. I have candy for my third one as well. Have you ever heard of Bonkers?
No.
Okay, it's not something people remember very well. It's from the 80s. See here. Bonkers was a candy offering from Nabisco in the mid-80s. It consisted of chewable, rectangle-shaped candies with a tangy filling. The candy came in a large rectangular package with several of them individually wrapped. Common flavors included grape, orange, strawberry, watermelon, and chocolate. So it's been gone for years, and they were supposed to bring it back in 2016, but they never did. And
yeah, these look good.
Yeah. They were little rectangles, and then they had a little filling inside, which was a different color or a different flavor. And they were super chewy, and they tasted amazing. And it's been probably 30 years since I've had one. And if I could resurrect anything, that's what it would be for candy.
Nice.
Oh, they look great. They kind of look like fruit tellers, but a bit softer with a different kind of filling. If we were to compare them to something over here.
Yeah, and they weren't gum, but it was soft and it was chewy and it was just like a flavor burst in your mouth.
Yeah, it kind of does sound like the Starburst that Dan was talking about at the start from the
probably a similar type thing.
And another one I liked was Fry's chocolate cream, which was
fries. Ooh. You can get fries all get over the place, Paul. Yeah, I'm not supposed to have things with milk in, and fries typically use soya instead of milk for their products. But you can get them from like most Tesco, One Stop, like any like garage, petrol station.
We just saw Paul's eyes light up as he's found the website that gets it.
The reason I say this, and I shouldn't really admit this on live on air, but when I was when we started secondary school, so I was probably about 13 at the time, I used to get the train into just one station down the line, get off the station, and Casey will know where it is, into a set of shops next to Bromborough Station.
Yep.
And there's a sweet shop there right on the corner. I think it's still there. It sells newspapers and candy and all sorts of things. We used to go in. I used to pick up two bars of chocolate cream, hold them in my hand, and then when nobody was looking, slide one up my sleeve. And then I would pay for the one that I had in my hand, come out, I got two for the price of one.
Oh.
I used to do that on a regular basis. So it looks as though you're paying for one. You know, you're not walking out with something that you haven't got, but you've got one up your sleeve.
And that is Exhibit A, my lad. Yes. Thank you very much.
Got away with that for years. And they should never, ever, ever put the small little bottles of pop, you know, the little 250ml bottles of pop. They always used to put them by the, this is the different shop. They put them by the door. So as you've paid for your food, whatever you're buying there, you walk out and just quickly pop one of those bottles in your bag and away you go. Oh, I was a right tea leaf when I was a kid. Yeah.
Wow.
The Artful Dodger. My friend Margaret, she's in her 70s. She talks to me a lot about when she was younger. They had a lot of sweet shops where they had the old, I mean, I remember this, but I think you'd struggle to find this now, with all of the boxes of sweets lined up behind the till. And they'd all be weighed out individually on a scale and then put into a brown paper bag. She said she'd always be like, oh, can I have a half pence of this? And as they were filling up the bag, she'd be like putting everything, you know, the display on the till where they'd be like, you know, nowadays they put out packs of chewing gum and, you know, things like that. She'd just be like, that's when she'd be quickly putting anything she could in all of her pockets. Oh, and could I also have, can I just also have some of this? And then she'd be ducks back at it. She said she'd be walking out, like trying to stop lots of bonbons from rolling down the street.
Oh, wow. Not just me, then. It's no wonder they all went bust, these small shops.
Yeah.
My friends offered some suggestions on what they would like to put in room 102. I said podcasting, which feels quite apt.
Yeah.
I'd like to keep podcasting. I'd also like to keep podcasting how it is, as like an unregulated industry.
Yes.
Because I feel like podcasting is likened to journalism a lot, but it's its own thing. And I feel like if it was to be a regulated industry, it would just become too much like something we already have. And that's what makes podcasting so special. Of course, you can have lots of wild stuff in an unregulated space, like far-right extremist conspiratorial fake news, I say in air quotes, kind of stuff coming out, which is really harmful. But on the other side of that, you can also have platforms that advocate and truth tell and all of that stuff. So I really appreciate the way that podcasting is, and I'd like to keep it how it is. My friend said that she should be able to pet anyone's dog she wants whenever she wants. So she just wants to be able to walk down the street, and if she sees a dog, she just wants to be able to pet the dog.
That's fair.
And then another one of my friends says, well, does the dog have a say in this? And she said, well, of course, I'm not a monster. So there was the moral discussion going on in a WhatsApp group. Mm-hmm. And then another one of my friends said, bring piracy back, because...
Yes,
because it's getting ridiculous it's now. Well, this week, Amazon Prime, if you have Amazon Prime, you get Prime Video. And this week, Prime Video launched this new thing where you will get ads in your services unless you increase your payments.
Right.
Disney Plus have just increased their payments. Netflix brought in that new thing where if you were sharing your passwords in different households, it's now restricted to that single household. Which was really frustrating, because my dad uses my Disney and I was using his Netflix. And what comes with house sharing is you set up your own profile, and then the algorithm shows you shows that suit you. It shows you where you were up to. If a new series of something you were watching comes out, it's like, oh, hey, there's a new season of this. If you want to continue with Netflix outside of the bill payer's household, you have to pay for your own Netflix account, which of course means starting again. So that, you know, that's a number of years of curating your mm-hmm. interests on a platform. So my friend basically said, like, they made a lot of measures in the entertainment industry to tackle piracy, but now forcing everyone back into a place where they're like, I'll just find somewhere online to stream this show, download this show, this movie, because I'm not going to sign up to 10 different streaming platforms to find out if the show I want to watch is on that platform. So it's like everyone is BBC One. You know, you pay for a TV license over here to be able to watch BBC. We don't have a TV license because we don't watch terrestrial telly. But now also we don't have a Netflix. You know, we don't have an Amazon Prime account. It's just getting back to that point where it's we have Disney for the kids and that's about it. And YouTube. And we just suffer through the ads of YouTube because I refuse to get YouTube Premium. So we're just being forced into this place where, you know, my friend thinks piracy is going to be making a big comeback. Mm-hmm. And also then said to me, don't you want piracy to come back in, like, as in, like, scurvy bilge rats pirates? And I was like,
absolutely.
Pirates still exist.
Yes.
And then they said, yeah, but not in the way you want to be a pirate. And I was like, I don't know if I actually want to be a pirate. I just, you know, if it's in the Pirates of the Caribbean universe, I probably do want to be a pirate. But in reality, when you read up about pirates and the things that they did, I don't know if I actually do want to be a pirate. I would love for them to bring back the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, which I know a lot of people will disagree with. But I just absolutely love those films. And I love a TV show that was on Netflix called Sense8 that got cancelled. Mm. It's one of the most thought-provoking and intimate and emotional and beautiful shows I've ever watched in my life. Like the full range of emotions, like love, hate, happy, sad crying, ugly crying, happy crying, like everything. And it's by the Wachowski sisters, or one of the Wachowski sisters, and who does GMS. The Matrix. Mm. Yeah, so it's like, it's really well written. It's filmed all over the world with the most beautiful cinematography, and the storyline is just incredible. I mean, everybody still talks about The Matrix and how impactful it was in changing the way that people thought about things. And Sense8 does exactly the same thing in a different way. Like, I have goosebumps talking about it. I absolutely love that show. And it was just another one of those shows that Netflix was like, no, not gonna.
They do that all the time.
They do it all of the time. And the really awful thing about it was that they would not sell the rights back to Lana Wachowski to continue the development of Sense8 beyond the 3 seasons, because she'd written, you know, another couple of seasons and a big finale. So, yeah, that was really devastating to the fan base. And, you know, I was going to say that I wanted to see the third installment of 28 Days Later that we were always promised we would get, or that Danny Boyle was always like, oh, maybe we will, maybe we won't. But this week it's been confirmed that they're going ahead with it.
Yeah.
So Danny Boyle and Alex Garland and Cillian Murphy as a producer, but maybe making an appearance in the film. There was a bidding war between 3 different studios on who would get the rights to produce the third film. So Sony are going to be producing that film alongside those 3. I mean, Cillian Murphy will probably be an Oscar winning actor at that point as well, for Oppenheimer, exactly. Which is really exciting. And so that's coming back too. All of the things I want in Room 102 are mostly here, which is great.
Do you think it'll be 28 months later or 28 years later?
Years. I think 28 Days Later came out in like 2000 2001, so it really is almost 28 years, and that's so exciting. And if they go by the when they released the original film, you probably know this, and listeners might too, they tested the film on a test group of viewers who found the ending so distressing that they released an alternative ending where Jim survives. So if they use that as like canon, then there's a chance that Cillian Murphy will be in the third film. So that would be awesome. I would really love that. I love that entire. I just love Danny Boyle as a filmmaker. He's like, you know, an absolute filmmaking treasure for the UK. One of the best that have ever probably come out of this region. So yeah, that's my. Well, I had two more on my list. I want to bring back fun spam mail because spam mail has been a thing since I, you know, first got an email address when I was like 13 years old. But it's not fun anymore. Like at the moment, it's like somebody will send you an email and it'll have like 12 random words in, which I assume is supposed to be like some, you're supposed to think that that's someone's key to their crypto wallet or something. Because that's how people, like, that's the password for a crypto wallet, is like loads of randomly generated words. I want someone to tell me that they're a Nigerian prince and that they've got $5 billion and they're going to send it to me and you know, just to look after it for them for a while or something like that. I just want, like, wild, fun spam mail. If I'm going to have spam, I want it to be entertaining. And at the moment, it's not. And then another one
I was going to say, it's just, it's funny you should mention that because the Cosmic Pizza podcast email address has been receiving a lot of spam email recently, which I just, you know, mark as spam and we move on. I'm not too sure. Oh, yeah, we've still got some. Energy Bill Cruncher is somebody who emailed me. Paramount, apparently, have emailed us. Got a limited offer of, and this is the giveaway for me, $2 sign up. Well, I'm sorry, I use pounds, so don't get that. SiriusXM wants us to be a membership. My membership has expired, apparently, so I need to get free extension.
Okay, beg it on that.
Hulu, my you membership just pirate to Hulu. It. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Cosmic Pizza's car insurance is due up.
Oh, no.
FedEx.
The van. Package. What about the van? They haven't insured the pizza van.
Oh, man.
No. We're going to go on the road when Sean came over and everything.
You see, they're just not interesting anymore, are they?
That's right. I mean, FedEx have got a delivery for us. You know, it's all these things that, you know, hi, Jake, I'm contacting you because I'm employing two new people. Oh, that's nice. I don't know who you are. UPS has got a delivery pending as well.
Peacock, there's always Peacock, a that's pending delivery.
Capital P-E-A, capital C, small O, capital C-K, Peacock, registered trademark. I've got in touch. Our membership is expiring. Reese Winters, Jake, here's the deal, Jake. I need to bring on four people this week. Yeah, you know, it's just whoever this Jake is.
Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, Intuit Incorporated. Our QuickBooks subscription is expired today. So yeah, look, come on, guys. We need to get our subscriptions paid up to date. We've got to make sure these parcels are picked up and get our van insured. For $378.92.
It's been a busy couple of months. We don't have time to catch up with all the admin. I mean, it's just hard.
We need a secretary.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, on the kind of mail thing, like mailing and all that kind of stuff, I did have sort of bringing back normalizing letters between friends. The writing letters, an old-fashioned letter. And like, I remember being at school and like there was a girl who I was very sweet on. She wasn't interested at all. But, you know, we used to exchange letters all the time. But there's something really fun about writing like three pages of that lined paper that you used to get at school and then having all the doodles and everything in the middle and then just going... And then there's obviously the lines where you scrubbed it out because you rethought, and rather than having to just, you know, delete it and then type again, you can actually think that there was a writing process going on and everything like that. And it was just nice. And you just exchange the letters, or you, if you knew their address, you could post it to them if you wanted to and do the old fashioned. I just miss that kind of normalized, just let's write a letter to somebody and pen pals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Bring back the 1890s. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
Where's my quill world, then? Yes, I say.
I want to be a pirate who writes letters, and I want to be on the high seas.
That's my favorite period in time.
Also,
I'd love to go back.
I want to be a pirate that like rollerblades everywhere or roller skates everywhere. So I'd really like it to be normalized that we just use like skateboards, scooters,
capes. Let's bring back capes.
Yes.
Let's wear capes. Capes on our skateboards and roller skates, but all of the roads and pavements have to be like tiny wheel friendly. So like tarmac. Everything has to just be tarmac. No stones allowed. No cobbles. Absolutely no cobbles.
Yeah. can I also say that with our like bottles of rum and stuff, can we bring back plastic straws, please? I know it's controversial and I know it will ruin the planet, but I really hate paper straws. Can we bring back the plastic straws?
Can we have the plastic straws at our Viking drinking horns?
Yeah, that'd be even better. That's fine. They're recyclable. That's recycling. That's reusing something. If they can make them recyclable, that'd be even better. But can we just bring them back? Because after about 5 minutes with your little McDonald's, like, you know, mm-hmm. Coke, it's just demolished. It's all soggy paper. I don't want soggy paper in my Coke.
Well, let me tell you that in the United States, they still have plastic straws.
Well, I think it would be really cool to have like metal hip flasks with metal straws, and then you can wash them.
Brilliant. Absolutely.
And since we're buying all this stuff, I would like to resurrect all the money I've ever spent.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Genius.
Oh my gosh. I always sit there and think, wow, what if I never bought that thing I never use?
Right?
I'd have so much money.
That's how we'll reinsure the van.
Oh, brilliant. Right. Yeah, that's sorted.
I saw something I'd like to resurrect as well. I'm going to see if I can share the screen with you guys. Can you see that?
Nope.
Yep. Oh, here it comes. You see that?
Ponchos. The poncho.
Poncho. Now, I said to my wife, I said, look, men don't really suit ponchos, but I found one that is fabulous and I really want one because she's got a poncho. Clint Eastwood's poncho from the all of the Good, the Bad, the Ugly films. And yeah, mm-hmm. He's got three of them. There's a green, a brown, and a sort of.
Yeah, they're cool.
Ponchos, capes, and cloaks. Let's bring it all back.
Oh, yeah.
To be fair, I think they are coming back because all three of my kids have got snooties.
That's what I'm wearing.
Exactly. So yeah. I think
it's like a giant hoodie.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of a poncho with a hood.
I do all the school runs in it and everything. And I think the parents all think that I don't wash. And to be fair, I took Junie, I took my 2-year-old to Costa this morning and got her a baby chino. So you can get your own coffee and then you can get your own, like, it's just like a frothy hot chocolate, but it's not hot, it's warm. So you can have your big coffee and she can have her little coffee, and she just tipped it straight down herself. And she had her own little hoodie on, so she looks so funny in hers because it goes like down past her knees. It's hilarious. But then I had to pick her up because we were still in Costa, and then my hoodie was chocolatey, so was hers. So they both got washed and dried. And 3 hours later, I was pulling it out of the washing machine, putting it on, warm and fresh. So I think the parents must think that I don't clean, but a washer dryer will you can do two school runs a day and you've washed it in between. For all the judging parents out there on the school run.
Yeah.
But the last thing on my list that I want to bring back is funny old-fashioned words that are really, really funny to use. So uglyography is what you would say to somebody if their spelling was bad or their handwriting was bad. So it's, oh, you have such uglyography. and a giggle mug is a name you would give to somebody who is always smiling or laughing. So be like, oh, he's such a giggle mug. and then, you know, like brabble is just someone that argues really stubbornly about things. Like, there's just so many good words that people used to use back in the day that we don't use anymore. And I'd like to bring some of them back. You know, codswallop is an example of one we still use.
Ah, yeah.
But some of them have just been like, I mean, hysterical is another one, you know, which just applies to women. That woman's hysterical, you know, that comes from women.
Yes.
And then they'd perform hysterectomies on women because that's what was making them hysterical. So, I mean, just to go back to patriarchy for a second, but I'm surprised.
Let's bring back the patriarchy.
It's just that you have some sort of dog in this fight.
I'm surprised that none of you have said Firefly. Is that not something you want?
Firefly is written on my thing, and it's one of those ones that everyone says they should bring back. But I do wonder if we did, would it be as special? You know, if you bring back the TV show, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never gotten past 4 episodes.
Oh, exactly.
I really loved it.
It had a really, really dark episode near the end, whether it was the last one or not, I can't remember, where one of the girls was being attacked or being threatened to be attacked.
Mm.
And they got rid of the guy. They threw him out the airlock. But it was very dark, going in a direction that show didn't really... It wasn't that sort of show. It wasn't that dark. It would have issues, but they were never sort of, you know, that dark. I mean, I was really uncomfortable watching it, which is probably the reason, probably what you're supposed to be thinking. But yeah, it was scary. I thought it was good. Uh-huh. And I thought if you had another couple of seasons, you know, like Star Trek's first episodes and first seasons, never.
Oh, really, they're pretty awful. Yeah,
give it a chance to see what happened. But would I continue to watch it? I don't know. I quite liked it. It was developing a sort of a nice little run where they would do the episode of the week. You know, it was very much let's go down to this planet and do this. But there was a central theme running through it. You know, they were constantly running away from the empire, if you want a better word. You know, it was that sort of show. But yeah, I thought it did have legs. I think another season would have. I think it would have got a little bit better at it, maybe a third season, and it would have found its feet and you know, the cast would have gelled. But yeah, it was not that offensive.
Well, you know what I would have brought back then or kept running is, even though it's my least favorite Trek, Star Trek Voyager, it would still be running, and it would actually run for the full 70 years, and it would take them that long to get back to the Alpha Quadrant. And you could carry it on like a soap opera. And it keeps going, and you have new people coming along and maybe new crews, because who wants to be on a TV show for 40 years? But I would love to see.
Well, Patrick Stewart, I think. But
Well, sure. Sure.
That sounds a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? You just have this ship keep going and keep going, picking up new and replacement crews, and they're pairing off. And
well, it would certainly fix the problem that they've got, which is every 5-year mission, there's a rotation, and then they stop the show, and then they try and think of a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
But the old ideas are the best, and that's why Strange New Worlds has come back, or to come back is a thing, because it is basically continuing what was happening in a better way in the 1960s, which was the original Star Trek made on a modern day platform, with but it's still the old fashioned style of ship, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. If you could basically just continue that show going on and show it through Kirk and then show it through somebody else after that and show it through the next, you know, and you've got that continuity. In the meantime, you've got other shows like the Section 31, if that's what they're going to bring out, or the Academy or whatever they're going to do, that, you know, can be a little bit more varied. But yes, have that one show that was the original idea, the original episode a week, alien of the week, moral question of the week that is fixed at the end of it or not, or begs a bigger question. Keep that going, because that's what Star Trek is.
Right, and we would just be celebrating the 29th season of Star Trek Voyager this year if it had continued on.
Mm.
Who would be the captain now?
Janeway's sitting there going, halfway home.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, I don't. Are you speaking Klingon? Because I didn't get anything any of you just said.
It's just like...
Well, that might be a good spot to end the podcast then.
Yeah,
I think we did really well, considering we didn't think we were going to have a lot.
Yeah.
I can't wait for room 103.
The place of indifference. I kind of like it.
That's where there's... I think that's my youngest son's room. You open it up and everything in the universe is in... You know, I always say that the saying that people say, there's a place for everything and everything in its place, right? There is one place for everything in his room and everything is in that place. It's just all stacked up in the middle. There's crockery we'd forgot we bought 20 years ago that is still in there. It's never been washed.
Oh, my word.
There's all sorts of things
no.
there.
But it's family, so funny, though, Paul.
The rats are well fed, you know.
If you would have banished mashed potato, we'd have just brought it back this episode. So yeah. Mashed potato is inevitable.
It's inedible.
Sucks for you. That's inedible.
Ah, excellent. Very good. That was a good episode. I enjoyed that. I hope everybody else out there listening did as well. Our special is gone and the grease in the box is cold, and we hope you are full to the brim. So join us for more slices of life in the next special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
We've been your deliverers today. Please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries, rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you'd like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.